This is the end of the line.
Telling me.
Did I tell you about the pool here?
For Daniel LaRusso.
Is this the only pool you guys got?
The future seemed far from terrific.
This place is a dump. You should go back to New Jersey.
Hey, I know it's hard, but we're not quitters, are we?
Until he met the right girl.
She's beautiful. I say she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful.
Is that your address?
You got it.
But that only angered the wrong guy.
Country
club at 9:30. Definitely.
You gotta
be nuts.
And his troubles really began.
You have to push it. Like a
Then, in one man, he found a teacher.
I promise to teach karate.
And a friend.
Fighting, always last answer. Power, whole body. Make a perfect picture.
How do I know if my picture's the right one?
If come from inside you, always right on. Lesson about the balance, not just karate, lesson for all life. Why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Hey, karate kid, let's make a move.
You know, points or no points, you're dead meat.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
In the end, it will be in Daniel's hands. In his body. And most of all, in his mind.
Concentrate, focus, power. Remember, balance.
No mercy.
Columbia Pictures presents The Karate Kid.
Hey, what kind of belt do you have?
J.C. Penney, 398.
Oh, you got to love that line. J.C. Penney, 319. It ain't 319 anymore, is it? Oh, classic. We're in the middle of a series called At the Movies. During the summertime, it's just a joy for us to come together. As a matter of fact, today we've invited our kids' church with us just to be with us. We have sports camp coming up next week, one of our biggest outreaches of the year. And so we're going to give them a break, the K through 5, and say, just come on in and enjoy with us as we're in the middle of this series, At the Movies. And what we've been doing is looking at some of the movies you may have seen growing up, some of the movies you may have seen even recently, and looking at some of the spiritual lessons. Sometimes we see things and we look at it for simply entertainment, but what we don't realize is that there's lessons behind that we can look at. And when we can look through the lens of the Word of God and it can apply it to our lives and it can make a huge impact in us as we walk through that. Now, The Karate Kid is a classic, right? Many of you maybe remember watching that growing up as a kid, or maybe we've seen it even recently. But it's the classic story of the underdog who comes into town and he's beat up, but yet he rises to the top and he meets the challenge and he excels and exceeds. And at the end, you want to go chop down and beat everything you can, right? You know, it's like, you know, you have all these ways of wanting to. I mean, as a kid, every time I'd watch a movie, whether it was The Karate Kid or Rocky, you know, at the end, you just wanted to fight. Like, come on, I can do this. And it's just one of those movies that you may have seen over and over, but there's some lessons behind it. Because the truth is, when you look at our lives today, we live in a changing world. The America that you and I grew up in is not the America that our kids are growing up in. Things are changing. What was once America known as a Christian nation is now known as a post-Christian nation, a nation that once followed God. According to studies, less than 17% of America attends church every three out of every eight Sundays. And when you look at that and you process that, it begins to look different. But then when you look at the morality issues and the things that are rising up all around us, and you can see there's a constant battle that we're facing. And the issues that you and I may have dealt with in college or later on in life, our kids are seeing in elementary school. And knowing that, looking at this post-Christian nation, seeing this from a post-Christian perspective, the question I'm looking at it is, how do we thrive as Christians in a post-Christian nation? In other words, with the world shifting and the troubles and the challenges that our kids face and that you kids here today that you face, how do we shift? How do we develop? Brent, I'm getting a ring up here. I don't know if you can hear it. But how do we shift? How do we develop in that process? How do we do that? And so we're going to look at this through scripture and through some of these movie clips, and we can see some elements that we can, principles we can apply to our lives to live and thrive as Christians. The first one today is this: choose to be hot.
Choose to be hot. In other words, serve God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. We see this in Matthew chapter 22 in the Great Commandment. But look with me today at a scripture that you may not be as familiar with in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, John is writing to the seven churches. And in chapter 3, verse 15, it's the church of Laodicea. And we see this message that is laid out. And the churches represent the body of Christ and us as a body. And we take lessons from each of them and apply them to ourselves. In chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. But since you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich and I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And when you look at this, you see this principle saying what? We think that everything's okay. I think if we look at the world and even the church today, this is very indicative. We are at this in-between stage. If you follow church history, you can see the church, even in the last 20 years, has had a hunger and a desire to reach more people. In that hunger and desire, what is often done has shifted it to reach it to become quote-unquote relevant in how we do things and music and style and trying to attract people that don't know Christ or aren't followers of Christ and make them feel comfortable. But what's happened along the way, we've shifted into the concept using the thought of grace, because grace is great. We are all sinners saved by grace. But yet we've used this concept of grace, and then grace has simply become a license to sin. But yet when you look at this scripture, he's telling us very clear, you're hot or you're cold. You cannot simply say, oh, I follow God and I can do whatever I want and just ask God to forgive me. No, you have to live a life of holiness. That's what we see in scripture. It says, Paul writes and repeats what's said in Leviticus, be holy for I am holy. Talking about what? God is telling us to live a life of purity, live a life of honor. So you have to make a choice to do that. It's not simply just saying, I'm going to ask and say a prayer and everything's okay. It's choosing to be hot. Choosing to live a life that honors God, choosing to make that choice. Because the truth is, if you're in the middle, you're going to find yourself in a dangerous place. Take a look at this next clip.
Hey. Oh, Mr. Miyagi, I forgot to give this back to you last night.
You keep.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So, ready?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Son must talk. Walk on the road. Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later, get the squish, just like grip. Here, karate, same thing. Either you karate do yes, or karate do no. You karate do guess so, just like grip. Understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Now ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Let's make sacred pact. I promise teach karate. That's my part. You promise learn. I say you do. No question. That's your part. Deal.
Steal.
This. First, wash all the car, then wax. Wait,
why do I have to wash all the car?
Remember, deal. No question.
Yeah, but
I. Right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe. In through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off.
Hey, where these cars come from?
Wax on. Detroit! Wax off. Circle. Wax off. Left and circle. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in, breathe out. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. Wax on.
Wax on, wax off. Oh, man, have I said that a few times in my life. But it's interesting, isn't what he said? See, Daniel's wanting to live his life. He's wanting to learn karate because he wants to secure his manhood, stand up to the bullies that he's facing. And yet he thinks of it only as a fighting technique, but he don't see the principle behind it. How true is that in our lives as Christians? Many of us come to church, we walk through the motions, but we don't recognize the actions, what takes place, and what we're truly doing. Because it's discipline. You have to make a choice to be hot. You have to make a choice to be hot, not cold. Remember what he said? He said, you can be on both sides of the road, but you get in that middle, and you're in danger. And I think one of the biggest dangers in the church today is that lukewarm spirit that often rises up within us where we just get comfortable. And the truth is, we cannot be comfortable. We cannot be comfortable. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be in the middle. Because lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I want you to make a choice to be hot. And I think it's something that we have to make a decision to do. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua was facing this because the children of Israel were wanting to make choices. They were wanting to serve other gods. And they had this terror of serving God or serving other gods. And look what Joshua says as a leader to them. He says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of the ancestors served beyond Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in the lands where you now live? But as for me and my family, or me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua drew a line in the sand. He said, look, you can get caught up in the things of the day. You can get caught up in the things of the past. But I'm making a choice for me and my family. We will serve the Lord. Because serving the Lord is so much more than just simply saying it. So much more than simply just talking about it. It's living it. Putting him in your life. Choosing to be hot. Choosing to follow him every step of the way. The second principle we have in thriving in a post-Christian area, an era, is to remove pride and arrogance from our lives. To remove pride and arrogance from our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. It said, pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes with wisdom. Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction, but haughtiness before a fall. See, this is a trap that Christians fall into. We think that just because we go to church, just because we profess to be a follower of Christ, that we're so much better than everyone else. The truth is, we all walk through life. We're all facing difficulties. What separates you is not what you have done. Titus 3 verse 5 says, you are not saved for the righteous things that you do. You are only saved by God's grace and his mercy. And so knowing that scripture, applying that, recognizing that you are all walking this journey of life and you don't reach perfection until heaven. Amen. That's perfection. And but it's still, as we said earlier, it's our call to walk towards holiness, to live for him, but recognizing you're still human. And to think that you're better than other people puts a false error. And honestly, pride turns people off. You know people in your life that you've dealt with, the guys at school or the people around you that thought they were big and bad. It turns us off. The one that you're playing in sports that always is in your face, it gets old, doesn't it? Because pride turns people off because it's an arrogance, it's a spirit. And you have to, as a follower of Christ, remove pride from your life and learn how to grow and develop. Look, in this next clip we're going to look at, Mr. Miyagi has trying to catch a fly. You remember that, trying to catch a fly? Let's take a look and see what happens.
Wouldn't a fly swatter be easier?
Man who catch fly with chopstick accomplish anything.
You ever catch one?
Not yet.
Can I try?
If wish. Beginner luck.
Not exactly the words of encouragement, right? I mean, they had chapped his hide. How can this little punk kid come in here and catch a fly with chopsticks? But there's pride in all of us. And we laugh at his reaction. But the truth is, sometimes we react the same way. We act as if we know it all, that we have it all figured out. Listen, we're all on a journey. We all need to know that we have to walk. And listen, when you look at Scripture, it talks about it to encourage one another. How do you beat pride? If you have pride in your life, the way you beat pride is the opposite. It's encouragement. You encourage others. You praise others. Those who have something you want, so those who you covet, you want to be a part of, he's like, man, they have it all together. Encourage them. Instead of being down and frustrated that you can't meet their standard, whatever, encourage them. That's how you beat it in your life. If you find yourself thinking you're better than others, then encourage others around you. That encouragement begins to, it encourages others, lifts them up, but also tears down pride in your life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10. It said, Christ died for us, so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So it's a reminder to them saying, hey, look, you want to encourage them. Because if you think you're so much better, listen, love, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about it. What is love? Love is patient. It's kind. It's not prideful. It's not boastful. It's not rude. It keeps no records of wrong. You see in 1 Corinthians 13, it lays this out. Why? Because you may have the answer of hope that comes from Jesus. You may be hot and living for him. But if you beat everybody down you face and you do not extend love and encourage them, you know what happens? It pushes them away. They don't want, they see that as pride. They see that as arrogance. And oftentimes we see it as, well, I'm just trying to sharpen my brother. But you can see here, there's a way to do it. There's an attitude behind it. And if you're not careful, you fall into the trap of pride. And you don't realize it because you think everything's great and you're just in a good spot in life. But can I tell you something? Life is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're on the bottom. Sometimes you're on the top. Sometimes you're enjoying that ride down and things are great. Sometimes it's just a click at a time. You know what I'm saying? Click, 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 and you're just trying to get to the top. And you've got to make a decision. I'm not going to allow pride and arrogance to destroy my life, to derail me in this time of following Christ and being all that I can for him. The third principle we see here is simply this. When you want to quit, persevere. Because all of us, there are times that we want to quit. There are moments in life when things just don't go well. Things are frustrating. We just say, forget it. I want to quit. I don't even want to try anymore. But that's the moment you have to persevere. That's the moment you have to make a choice that I'm going to do everything I can to push forward, to be the best that I can be. In Galatians 6, verse 9 through 10, it says, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. You see, you're going through life and you're going to hit the ups and the downs, but you've got to say, even when you want to quit, keep pushing forward. Keep going forward, because it's at that moment you're going to grow. It's at that moment when you think you can't move anymore, that's when your strength is rising. Why? Because it's at that moment you're no longer doing it on your own. It's at that moment you're beginning to let go and trust that God can help you. But training is hard. It's difficult. Struggles are hard. How many times you prayed for patience in your life, right? It's a scary one to pray for, isn't it? Because you know the only way you're going to have patience is be what? Go through trials, go through tribulation, be tested in your patience. And so in that, we have to make a choice. In this next clip, we see Daniel, who has been training, wax on, wax off. He's been doing all these things for Mr. Miyagi, and he reaches his boiling point because he feels that it's all in vain. He's tired. He's had enough. There's nothing he can do. It just doesn't work anymore. Mr. Miyagi simply wants him to be his work hand. He does not want to train him karate, and he reaches his point. Let's take a look.
Daniel-san! Daniel-san!
What?
Come here. Show me Sander Floor.
I can't move my arm, all right? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Now show me Sander Floor.
How did you do that?
Shut up!
Sander Floor.
Stand up. Show me Sander Floor. Sander Floor. Sander Floor. Big circle. Sander Floor. Sander Floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me penta fence. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. Other side. Look, I. Always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. Show me paint the fence. Yes! 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 Show me side to side. Yes! 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 Show me sand or floor. Yes! 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 Yes!
First Timothy chapter 6 says this: fight the good fight of true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared so well before so many witnesses. You see, there are times you're going through trials. Some of you are going through it right now. And all you see is wax on. All you see is wax off. Paint the fence, sand the floor. You don't see that these are growing you. They're developing you. This is a part of the process, and you cannot quit. You cannot give up, because when you give up, you're missing out on the greatness that God has for you. It is tough. It is hard, but you're going to see there's a reward at the end if you're willing to push forward and recognize that there's more to it than what you're facing. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Everyone should accept it, recognizing that, hey, you've got to make a choice. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Yeah, I don't understand that wax on. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. But what you're going through is preparing you for the greatness that God has for you. And you've got to put it as a resolve inside of you to say, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to move forward. If all I can do is get up and put one foot in front of the other today, God, I'm going to trust you. I know you are in control. So we have choose to be hot. Know that God, that you have to make a choice to serve him and give him with all your heart. Number two, we said remove the pride and arrogance. Number three, when you want to quit, persevere. Don't quit. And number four, the last one here, is to find balance by walking with Christ. One of my favorite scriptures that I found is in Matthew 11. We see in verses 28 through 30. And I love how it says it in the Message. And I want to read it to you because I think it's so clear and it says it so well. It says this: are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out with religion? I mean, some of us stop right there and you can say, yeah. But look what he says. He says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. How many would like a real rest, right? You want a real, true rest. Then he goes on, he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And I love this line. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-footing on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Learn, he says, walk with me, work with me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So many times in our lives, we find it difficult to serve the Lord because we're trying to do everything on our own. We're trying to do things our way. We're not willing just to give it all to God. In other words, what we do is we come and we pray and we say, Jesus, help me, Lord, I need your help. And I'm going to lay this at the altar. But then instead of leaving it at the altar, we pick it back up and we carry it with us. Lord, I need healing. Then I carry that pain. Lord, I need deliverance. Then I carry that struggle. Lord, I need relationships mended. But then I carry that burden. You see what happens? If you're not willing to let go, how can you allow God to help you? Because here's the thing. When you begin to study Scripture, you begin to read the Word of God, you're going to recognize that God's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you and force you to serve him. Why? Because at the very beginning of time, you see you were created in God's image. Being created in God's image means you have a free will. You choose what you're going to do. And because of that, God's going to let you choose. So if you are walking through hard times right now, you have the choice. Are you going to change? Are you going to let God help you? Are you going to continue struggle in the traps of the enemy? But in order to find balance, you have to learn to walk with Christ. You've got to say, listen, I don't have it all figured out, but you know what? I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm going to lay my burdens at the Lord's feet. I'm going to trust him that even though right now everything's heavy, everything's tired, I'm not going to let it wear me down because I know he's with me. I know he's helping me. I know he's going to see me through. In this last clip, we see Daniel's son. And how he's getting ready for this ending fight that he's going to face. And yet he's still struggling. He's still trying to understand the concept of what he's doing and why he's doing it. Let's take a look.
Ah, good. Stand about. No. Bow. Up.
What, up front?
Yeah. Make luck. Left, right, up, down, side to side, breathe in, breathe out, and no scare fish.
You want to learn how to punch?
Better learn balance. Balance is key. Balance good, karate good, everything good. Balance bad, better pack up or home. Understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Ah,
you ever get into fights when you were a kid?
Plenty.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a problem I have, right?
Why? Fighting. Same.
Yeah, but you knew karate.
Someone always know more.
You mean there were times when you were scared to fight?
Always scared. Miyagi hate the fighting.
Yeah, but you like karate.
So?
So karate's fighting. You train to fight.
That hurt you think?
No.
Then why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Miyagi have a hope for you.
When am I going to learn how to punch?
Learn how to punch. Learn how to keep trying.
No!
You all went behind the ear.
Are you crazy?
I mean, you got to love Mr. Miyagi. But there's some lessons there, wasn't there? He said, how do I punch? He said, you learn how to fight when you learn to keep balance. See, some of you today are saying, how do I punch? How do I fight? You learn how to fight when you learn to keep balance. And balance comes by walking with Christ. Balance comes by knowing Him. Because there's always going to be things around you. There's always going to be enemies that face you. But you've got to learn to balance and find balance in walking with Christ and knowing Him and living for Him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. You see that part? Live righteously. You know what that's saying? Choose to be hot. Choose to live for Christ. Don't let pride and arrogance get in your way. Live righteous. Don't quit. Trust and know that God has a plan. And as you do that, you grow, you develop, and you begin to recognize where your strength lies. You begin to find your balance. See, that balance comes because when you walk with Christ, when you learn the unforced rhythms of grace, you begin to know that God's going to help you no matter what you face. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience the peace which exceeds anything and we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting them into practice. All that you've heard and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You see, that's what it is. We want peace. We want hope. We want those things in our lives. But it comes by what? Walking with Christ. Trusting in Him. Knowing that God is in control. Because we live in a nation that is changing. And it's our role to be the light in a dark world. How do we be the light? How do we do that? Choosing to be hot. Saying, God, I'm going to give. I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm not going to be cold. I'm going to choose to be hot. I'm going to serve you with all that I am. I'm going to live righteous. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to give you everything I have to you. Moving a step beyond that and saying, Lord, I'm not just going to do that. I'm going to remove the pride and arrogance and not think that I'm some great person because my greatness comes from knowing you. Lord, the good things that come from my life are only because I'm a follower, a servant of you, and I give you glory for it. And then moving beyond that, when times are tough, saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to give it all that I have. I'm going to give everything that I have, knowing that God is going to see me through. And then finding balance by working and walking with Him. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. If you're here today and maybe your life, you're out of balance. You're struggling, you're tired, you're weary. You've wanted to quit, you want to give up. And you're just wondering, God, how? I don't know how to do it. The truth is, you're tired. You've given it all that you know to give. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today saying, hey, it's going to be all right. Come to me. All who are weary, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. How do you do that? By simply asking Him to forgive you of your sins. By giving your life to Him.
and walk in. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. Confession is simply saying, God, forgive me of the sins. I've messed up. But the belief is now walking and living and walking with him, that finding that balance. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, we want to give you that chance. Maybe you've accepted him at one point, but you're in a rough spot and you've walked away. But you need God to help you right now. And if that's you today, with no one looking around today, if that's you today and you need God to come in and strengthen you and help you come into your life, I just want you to make eye contact with me. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else you want to commit? Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's moving. He's moving. Anybody else here today? You're saying, hey, Lord, I know things are out of balance, but I want to give it to you. I want to put it in your hands today. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Man, the Holy Spirit's moving today. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to pray. And the prayer itself is the beginning. That's what we say, God, I come in and I'm asking you to forgive me. That's the confession. The belief is what we do beyond that. And if you are the ones that respond today, as we pray, I want you to simply make this your prayer. We're all going to join together. No one's going to single you out. We're in this journey with you. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, that's me, when we pray, make this your prayer. So as we pray, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, just repeat with us and let it be a reminder of what God's done for you. But let's all join together right now, if you would, and pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. It's that simple. Amen. It's that simple. You made that prayer. You made that decision. Now God can come in. He's going to strengthen you and he's going to help you.